hell. It's Ruth 2, verse 11, is the words of our text. We did take a little look at this last week, but were unable to conclude the study. It's those words, "And Boaz answered and said unto her," this is Boaz in the field, and he's speaking to Ruth. And he says, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband." It's those words, "all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband," or thine husband. We're thinking of the subject of ministering to mother-in-laws. And we emphasize again to you this morning, it is a major theme of this book of Ruth. In fact, it's true to say there's no other book of the Bible that speaks so clearly or speaks so much or gives such a clear example of how to treat your mother-in-law as the book of Ruth. Keep in mind the 10 of the 15 references to the mother-in-law. There's 15 references in all to the mother-in-law in all of the Bible, and 10 of them are found in the book of Ruth. And of the 12 references to the mother-in-law in the Old Testament scriptures, 10 of them are found in this short book within the 4 chapters of the book of Ruth. So what that means, if you think of 10 out of 15 references in all the Bible devoted to the book of Ruth and devoted particularly to Naomi, that means that Naomi is the most famous mother-in-law of all. She's the most famous mother-in-law, not just in the Old Testament scriptures, but she's the most famous mother-in-law in all of the Bible. There's no other mother-in-law that is spoken about more than her. Now, let me point out to you, just by way of introduction this morning, some other important mother-in-law facts that are found in the Bible. Let me encourage you to think of a married couple, and neither of them had a mother-in-law. Isn't that interesting? Who was that, you might ask? Well, the answer, of course, is the first couple, Adam and Eve. Adam was in the very happy position that he didn't have a mother-in-law. Adam's in the position, or was in the position, that many men would like to be in. He had no mother-in-law at all. And think of the bliss of that. It must have been one of the joys of paradise. But the reality is that Eve was in the same position. No in-laws at all. Now, by way of contrast, I want you to think, on the other hand, of a man who had a mother-in-law. Now, that in itself is not that strange a thing, but it is with regard to this man. We're thinking of a man in the New Testament scriptures, and that man is Peter. We read about that story. We read about Peter's mother-in-law this morning. And that is something that is very important. In fact, it's something that's very significant, a very significant account in the Word of God. And I want to stress that one to you especially this morning. You say, why? Well, you remember that Rome teaches, the Church of Rome teaches, that Peter never was married. So how wrong, how unscriptural that idea is. There's absolutely no support for the wicked doctrine of the celibacy of the clergy in the life of the Apostle Peter. Because the New Testament teaches and records very clearly that Peter was a married man. The New Testament records or clearly refers to Peter's mother-in-law. And she had a miraculous experience because she was one of those who was healed by the direct intervention of the Savior himself. And I want to point out to you that it's very interesting just how Peter's mother-in-law is described in the New Testament. The New Testament doesn't say his mother-in-law, as the book of Ruth does these 10 times about Naomi. The New Testament calls Peter's mother-in-law his wife's mother. And that's very interesting. In fact, it's very deliberate. And I would ask you to take note of it. Remember, men and women, the Lord knew. The Lord knew the evil doctrines that the Church of Rome would promote. We thought a little bit about that. Those of you who were there Thursday night week when we considered the third cry of the Savior on the cross when he looked down at Mary and described her as woman. The Lord knew the evil doctrines the Church of Rome would promote. And he wanted you, and he wanted everyone else as well, to know that Peter was married. So in one short statement, he tells you that Peter had a wife and he had a mother-in-law, Peter's wife's mother. And every time, men and women, if you read the Gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark and Luke, the Synoptic Gospels, that story is referred to. We read the account from Matthew this morning. But every time, and in every Gospel account, that is how she is described. His wife's mother. He had a wife and he had a mother-in-law. And Peter ministered to his mother-in-law. That's very significant in the light of the theme that we're considering this morning. He ministered to his mother-in-law just as Ruth did to hers. Ruth's an example of a lady that ministered to her mother-in-law. And Peter's a New Testament example. Ruth in the Old, Peter in the New. Peter's an example of a man who ministered to his mother-in-law. You say, how do we know? Well, she was staying at Peter's house. We're told clearly in the portion that we read from this morning when Jesus was come into Peter's house. When he entered into Peter's home, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. So I want you to see Peter's a great New Testament example of how to treat your mother-in-law, how to look after your mother-in-law. He took her into his own home. We're not sure whether that was a permanent thing or whether it was just for the purposes of the time that she was laid aside, experiencing infirmity. But it is set out nonetheless, men and women, when his mother-in-law was ill, Peter took her and cared for her in his own home. And remember too, we're told, when his mother-in-law was healed by the miraculous touch of the Lord, the first thing that she did when she was raised up was she ministered on to them. In other words, she became a ministering mother-in-law. We're thinking about how we can minister to them. Well, there's an example of a mother-in-law ministering in a blessed way onto the family. We sang those words deliberately. Is your life a channel of blessing? Well, whether you're a mother-in-law or whether you have a mother-in-law, there's a ministry to others. And that's how it should be, brethren and sisters, ministering onto each other, serving and supporting one another, particularly within the family and within the family of God in those times of great need. Now you think of the words of our text in the light of that. All that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law. And I want you to think of that for a moment. I'd like you to think of your mother-in-law, and I'd like you to think of all that you've done to your mother-in-law over the years that you have been in that relationship towards her. The sad thing is that often what is done to mother-in-laws has not been good and commendable, as it was here in the case of Ruth. All that you've done to your mother-in-law. Just consider that for a moment, and as you do, ask, would you want it to be known? Remember, it's recorded here in the Word of God. There's a full record kept. And that's how it is, men and women. God's keeping a record of every part of our lives. And you've a reminder of it here in the book of Ruth. Here's an area that the Lord's interested in. He keeps account of as well. Do you remember at the end of the message last Sunday morning, I said that you might object And you might say, well, it's very nice what Ruth did, but my situation's totally different. If you only knew my mother-in-law, the mother-in-law that I have. Well, I want you to know today that this book of Ruth answers most, if not all, objections that can be raised about ministering to mother-in-laws, following the example of this young woman as it's recorded for us in the chapters of this book. I want to point out to you this morning that Ruth showed all this love, and if you missed the message last week, I encourage you to take time to get the recording we set out for you. There's 5 points in particular, the things that Ruth did. Ruth showed all of that love, all of that support, all of that help, all of that concern, despite certain noted points about her mother-in-law. And I want to mention those to you. She ministered to her mother-in-law despite her mother-in-law's personality. You know that story, that joke about the parrot? That every time the mother-in-law came, it chirped up and said, terrible woman, that mother-in-law. And maybe that's how you feel. Maybe that's what you say about your mother-in-law, terrible woman. That might be so. Can often be the case. But I want you to know, men and women, as you look at the book of Ruth this morning, that even if that is the case, even she is a terrible woman, it's no excuse for not helping. No excuse for not ministering to her. Because you think of Naomi. Naomi was a terrible woman. Wasn't she full of bitterness in her heart and in her life? That's something to be very careful about. Bitterness can eat you. Bitterness can destroy you. Can destroy your spirituality. Can destroy your walk with God. It did with Naomi. She was full of bitterness. Didn't she say, don't call me Naomi anymore? She said, call me Mara. In other words, bitter. Remember, the children of Israel came to the waters of Mara. And they were waters that were very, very bitter. And remember, as well as being full of bitterness, Naomi huffed. Remember those words? She left speaking unto her. Do you know somebody that's done that to you? Maybe you're doing that to somebody today. Left speaking unto her. She huffed, not talking anymore to Ruth. She'll not do what I want, so I'll not be talking to her. It's not the attitude that you get sometimes, even from Christians. So I want you to see, men and women, at this point in her life, Naomi hadn't a great personality. She used to be a lovely person. But life and the circumstances had changed her because she'd got away from God, of course. But I want you to see that despite her personality, that Ruth still loved her and still cared for her. And the lesson, men and women, is that we should do the same. So she ministered to her mother-in-law despite her personality. She ministered to her as well despite her spirituality. You might say this morning, well, my mother-in-law is not a spiritual woman. Well, before you go any further with that, just take a wee look at your own spirituality. So easy to hurl abuse at everybody else, isn't it? Take a wee look at your own heart for a moment. You might say today, if she was saved, if she lived for the Lord, if she was out and out for Christ, I'd love her more. I certainly would have more respect for her then. Well, you think of Naomi. What was her spiritual condition? She was a backslider. Out of the will of God. Lived for 10 years. Out of the will of God. Disobeyed the Lord. The clear command of God's word. The Bible said, you're not to seek Moab or his prosperity all thy days forever. Clearly disobeyed the commandment that recorded in the Old Testament scriptures. She was a bad influence. And all of that. A a bad influence on the whole family. She was probably the motivation behind them leaving Israel to go to Moab to begin with. But she was a bad influence, especially on Ruth. Do you remember when they were leaving Moab? She wanted Ruth to go back to Moab, back to her heathen idolatry, back to her heathen religion. So if it comes to spirituality, men and women, Naomi wasn't a spiritual woman. But still, Ruth cared for her. And you know the important point? Is that her care, her attitude, her love, do you know what it did? It touched Naomi's heart. And it brought her back to the Lord. Don't miss that in the story. That was one of the most significant factors or keys to Naomi getting right with God again. So I bring you back to that question I asked you at the start. If you want to say, my mother-in-law is not a spiritual woman, what about your own spirituality? What about your own life? Your own testimony? Can I ask you this morning, men and women, is it having an influence on others? The way Ruth's life had an influence in her home and family. Maybe if your testimony was better, might bring others in the family to the Lord too. Might touch your mother-in-law's heart a little more about the things of God. So she ministered to her mother-in-law despite her spirituality. She ministered to her mother-in-law despite her nationality. Remember, Ruth was from one country and her mother-in-law was from another. Both were from entirely different nationalities, and at times the two nations were at war one with each other. Naomi was from a different culture, a different background. She had been brought up in an entirely different lifestyle to her daughter-in-law. And still Ruth was dedicated to her well-being. Ruth didn't use the old argument, well, I'm from a different place. Where we come from, life's different. We don't do that sort of thing. The culture that I was brought up in, the country that I come from, we do things differently. Well, as if that would ever justify neglect and rudeness and bad behavior and not being kind and caring and hospitable to others, especially to other members of your family. So she ministered to her mother-in-law despite her nationality too. There's a third thing. There's a fourth. And that is poverty. Ministered to her mother-in-law despite the poverty. Do you know that story? You've heard it told many times. That joke about the fella showing the neighbours round the farmyard. And he came to the shed first of all. And he showed the neighbours the shed and described every feature of it. And whenever he was finished and he was a wee bit proud of himself, this voice came up from behind. It was the wife. If it wasn't for my money, it wouldn't be there. You know that story? You know, it's sad many people think like that. If it wasn't for the money, I wouldn't be there. Often money is the motivating factor. Even, and at times especially, when you're dealing with your family and when you're dealing with your relatives. That's the only thing that really matters to some people, the money. The attitude is, what's in it for me? Did Ruth have that attitude when she left Moab, the land of her nativity, her father and her mother, and came with her mother-in-law to support her and to look after her in a foreign country? What's in it for me? People say, I'll look after someone. Look after someone in the family. I'll look after my mother-in-law in her old age. As long as there's an allowance. You know that allowance from the government? Oh, I have to have the allowance. And that's the only condition under which I'll look after that person. Or I'll look after someone in their old age, my mother-in-law, as long as they leave me plenty in their will. aren't those often the motivating factors that influence people in the things they do? Well, you think of how different this woman Ruth was, how different her attitude. Remember, her mother-in-law was broke. The family was bankrupt. Bankrupt, no money. The family, in fact, was heavily in debt. They had great debts to pay. Would not have been a cause. Now, remember, she knew all of that before she left Moab. Would not have been something that would have caused her to have stayed at home, to have stayed in the country of Moab. When she left Moab to follow Naomi to Bethlehem, to be with her and to look after her, she had absolutely no prospect, no prospects. No prospects of anything financial in being associated with this family. And still she showed compassion toward her mother-in-law. What an example there is there, men and women. And there's one other very important one. She ministered to her mother-in-law as well, despite liberty. It's a fact I don't want you to miss. Ruth was married to Naomi's son, Mahlon. But remember, Mahlon was now dead. Dead for a number of years. She could have said, I'm not obligated to look after you anymore. Couldn't you have said that? My husband's dead. That means the link, that close link between us is gone. It means I've been released. I've been set free. I've been set at liberty. Set at liberty from the connection to your family, from that responsibility of caring for you. Been different if he was still alive. But she didn't say that. In fact, she didn't even think like that. I want you to see, and it's one of the aspects of the story that's set out as the book continues. I want you to see that Ruth's care for Naomi continued long after her husband was dead. So there's just five areas, but there are five key areas. They're all clearly in the story, clearly in the book, in the message of the book. And I want you to see that this book, this story, answers every objection that there is for caring for your mother-in-law. There's a very clear biblical example here that we ought not to miss. We ought not to go through the book without considering. And a clear biblical example of ministering to mother-in-laws. You can't wriggle out of it. No matter how hard you might want to, or no matter how hard you might try. So I want you to think carefully of all of those things. Every mother-in-law in the meeting might like to get the CD and give it to your son or daughter-in-law. But remember, mother-in-laws, that there's an aspect of this story that applies to you as well. That would be interesting to consider also. But I want you to think of those words of verse 11. And then in just a moment, I'm going to turn you to the end of the book. Just by way of closing this message in this little study. But think of those words of verse 11. It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband. I want you to know from that word fully been showed me, there'd been a full description given of it. It was well told, well known in Bethlehem. And God has not left us in the dark either. That full report, most if not all of it, is found here in this book. And it's found here, men and women, for our benefit. Remember all these things that are written aforetime, written for our learning, all that thou hast done. God's interested in what you do. And in the context of our study last week and this, he's interested in what you do even to your in-laws, especially to your mother-in-law. So turn over just to the final chapter of the book and look there at verse 15 of the fourth chapter. The story ends with the birth of a child. It tells us in verse 13, Boaz took Ruth and she was his wife, and when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception and she bare a son. Remember, he's an old man. She's a much younger woman. And it says, and the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And his name is famous, not just in Israel, but across the earth. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. Children have a way of doing that. Children have been born in the home, particularly for old folk, it's like a tonic. He shall be a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. And notice these words, and these are the words of the women of Bethlehem. They knew the story about Ruth too, and how she had cared for her mother-in-law. For thy daughter-in-law. Here's words to the mother-in-law about her daughter-in-law, about her life. The earlier words in chapter 2 were words of Boaz that he had heard. But here's what the women said. Thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee. Love for a mother-in-law. Which is better to thee than seven sons hath borne him. All of the ministry men and women, all that she had done, in the words of our text, chapter 2, verse 11, why did she do it? What was the factor? What was the motivation? In the way that she lived, the attitude she had, the care that she displayed toward her mother-in-law, what was it? Which loveth thee. Love is something you see that's evident by your life. You don't just say it with your lips, you display it with your life. And Ruth had displayed her love. And everybody in Bethlehem, these women were able to bear testimony to it. Everybody in Bethlehem knew that she loved her mother-in-law. And that was clear by the way that she had cared for her, supported her, ministered unto her. And I encourage you from this book and from this study to follow her example and to follow in her footsteps. We're going to